Our lesson for consideration this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and beginning with verse 10. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Would you please bow your head with me? Here ends our lesson. Enlighten our minds, we pray, O God, by your Holy Spirit, who proceeds from you, so that as Jesus has promised, we may be led into all truth. Through his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. One time I took a trip out of the country, and on the way back, our plane landed in Miami, Florida. And those of us on the plane disembarked and began to make our way through the airport to try and find the next terminal to find our next flight. But before we could do that, we all had to get in this line and pass through something that was called customs. And at customs, our luggage was inspected. In fact, they actually searched through clothes that hadn't been washed in 2 weeks, and they asked us to sign a paper declaring anything that we had purchased overseas that was more expensive than a certain amount of money, which I can't remember anymore. But if we had purchased something like that, we had to declare it, and we had to declare it so that we could pay taxes on it when we entered the United States. And that tax rate was set by our government. Everybody had to pay the same rate, and the customs officials there that worked in that airport were all paid a salary by our government. But it was not so in Jesus' day. The customs agents in those days worked for a Roman official, those in Galilee and in Judea. They worked for a Roman official, and that Roman official would often sell those jobs to the highest bidder. They were lucrative jobs. The Jewish citizens would bid for that job because as they collected their taxes, they had the ability not just to collect what was required by the Roman government, but to collect more than that and actually extort money from people. And they had the backing of Roman soldiers to enforce their extortion, and so they could get quite wealthy. By most Jewish people, they were considered the lowest scum in the land, because they were not only collecting taxes for the Romans, but they were also thieves. And so doesn't it seem odd that Jesus would walk up to a tax collector who is still sitting at his table earning his filthy living and say, "Follow me"? That's exactly what he did in Matthew, or exactly what he did for Matthew and to Matthew. And Matthew wrote just a few autobiographical verses where he explains that and what happened immediately after that in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Now, Jesus calls Matthew in chapter 9, verse 9, and then in verse 10, why, that's where our lesson for this morning picks up. Not only does Jesus go to this man's house, call this man, but then he goes to this man's house, and he eats with him. And he enjoys a feast at this man's house, and this man, Matthew, invited not only Jesus, but apparently a lot of unsavory characters who were among his friends, they also came to his house for dinner that day. And that leads to a question. And the question was asked by some Pharisees who were watching all this happen. And the question is this. Well, let me read the preceding verse also. Now it happened as Jesus sat at table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, now here's the question. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Boy, there's quite a contrast, isn't there, in this paragraph? Quite a contrast between the Pharisees on the one hand, who would have been considered righteous by most people who saw them. They were more religiously respectable, for sure, than the scum of society who are, on the other hand, depicted in that paragraph. Why is it that Jesus is with the scum? That's what they're asking. And Luke fills us in with a little tidbit of information that tells us the Pharisees are not just asking an innocent question here. They're actually grumbling about this when they say it. Why? Why is your master eating with these kinds of people? That's what they're saying. Doesn't he know better than that? Now, Scripture records a number of encounters between Jesus and the Pharisees. This one happens apparently near the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when the Pharisees didn't yet know Jesus very well. And can't you, in your mind's eye, picture him falling in their estimation as he eats with these people? That was tantamount to fellowship with them, eating with them in those days. What a simple answer Jesus gives to that question. Those who are well have no need of a physician, he says. But those who are sick do. Oh, well, that makes perfect sense then, doesn't it? That's why he's eating with the tax collectors and sinners. It wasn't as the Pharisees thought that he was sympathizing with their sin. No, he was sympathizing for their soul. That's what he was doing there. And then Jesus gives the Pharisees some homework. He says this, go and see what this means. And he quotes himself as he had spoken some 600 years before through a prophet when he said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not, he said, come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oftentimes, what is going on in the physical realm hides something that is going on in the spiritual realm, doesn't it? It's easy to see in this passage who the sinners and the tax collectors are. Well, they are called tax collectors and sinners. It's easy to know who those who are sick are. It's them. And it's easy to know who the well are. Well, they're the Pharisees. At least the Pharisees must have thought that. But the truth is that there is only one person at that gathering who is well. Only one of them is not sick. And that was Jesus. When you have the flu, man, it is easy to tell you're sick, isn't it? The symptoms are there, the aches, the pains, the sore throat, maybe worse, the fever. You feel so lousy, it's easy to know that you're sick. But there are some people who are walking around that are even sicker than that and don't even know it. And they will not know it until someone discovers the cancer that is growing inside them. And that is the hidden danger of self-righteousness. That is the cancer of the Pharisees. At this point, I would be remiss if I didn't seek to make some personal application of this passage. I suspect that most of us have more than a trace of the Pharisee in us. So I want to ask a question. Where exactly is your cutoff point when it comes to dealing with people? When it comes to the kind of people with whom you will associate, with whom you will have a conversation? What is the type of person below which you are unwilling to go? Would you associate with a thief? How about a convicted murderer? How about an addict? How about a prostitute? A dirty, smelly transient? A homosexual? An abortionist? A liberal? You know, is there a class of people below which you will not associate? Welcome to the Pharisee Club. And, you know, my looking at anyone else and holding them in contempt because of their class of sin, or just their class, well, that's like a person with leukemia saying to a person with lung cancer, well, at least I'm not as sick as you are. Well, what difference does it make? We're both terminal. It's going to kill us both when we're in that condition. We're both sick. So are you. Well, didn't Jesus say he came for the sick? I think that's exactly what he said. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. That's who he came to call. Sick people, sinners. People like you and me. And you know what? He didn't just eat with sinners and the tax collectors. He also ate with Pharisees. He did more than that. He went to the cross. And there upon the cross he shed his blood, and that blood washed away that sickness. Augustine, in his book, The Confessions, he calls his sin his illness. He pleads with God to take it away. Take away my illness. Well, Jesus took away those sins upon the cross. He took all of your sins on the cross. I love that passage. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I love this other translation I read one time. There is now not one condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has washed your sins away. And it would be a shame this morning to walk out and put back on yourself a robe of your own righteousness when you already have such a bright, shining righteousness that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Forgive us, Father, for the way in which we excuse our own faults and dwell upon those of others. We would ask you to so guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit that we may not exalt ourselves but humbly fear you with our whole hearts, hear and keep your word. Help us first to place our hope and confidence in Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness and Redeemer, and then work in us, Lord, to so amend and better our lives that in accordance with your word we may avoid all offenses and finally obtain eternal salvation. Through your grace in Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.